When you have a dream or vision for your life, you need a guiding compass to help you manifest it into being through deliberate manifestation. And that might change your beliefs, your behaviors, your habits, and then your personal reality become the person that manifests that vision. But what if you've been a mom for a long time, or you've been so invested in a way of living that just abruptly is coming to a close and you don't know what you really love anymore? Well, you're going to really love today's episode with Jane Applegath, who is a beautiful mentor and former financial advisor and television producer and yoga instructor. She's just an amazing person who's here to help you really hone in on what lights you up so you can set that vision and then get your guiding compass towards its manifestation. Join us to find out more. Soul Nectar Show. The Soul Nectar Show. You're invited, delighted to discover who you are. Anything is possible if you believe. So join on this beautiful journey. Soul Nectar Show. Soul Nectar Show. Well, hello and welcome everyone to another episode of Soul Nectar Show, that show where we talk about all things essence, where we gather around the campfire and we share our stories of connection to that which is greater than us, to the great mystery beyond the veil, to those synchronistic moments that lead us inexorably towards a deeper understanding of ourselves and our lives and what we're doing here on earth at this time of the Great Awakening. I'm your host, Carrie Hummingbird, and I love having these conversations week after week and bringing new awarenesses and new voices and new conversations to help you navigate your life during this time that can feel quite chaotic and messy and tangled up and uncertain as we head into the mystery of what more is possible for humanity and for this planet than what we've been experiencing up until now. And as a medicine woman, a mentor, mother, I know the importance of all of us as guides for our families and communities to be really strong, grounded presence of love on the planet. And at the same time that we are serving as messengers or mentors to help others, we're also moving through our own inner medicine. We're also navigating the course of our hopes and dreams and desires and aligning ourselves to be the one that brings that into being. And so today's conversation should really support you in that question of how do I navigate the dismantling of all that's come before while dreaming into being these new visions that my soul is giving me in my heart. And I know that this is what I'm here for. And yet the current reality might not be completely supporting that vision yet. And you might need to move through some initiations and transformations in order to become the one who brings that forward. And so today's conversation, your guiding compass, is going to be with our guest, Jane Applegath. Welcome to the show, Jane.
Hello, Carrie. I'm so pleased to be here.
So glad you're here. We had a great conversation over on Jane's show and just really excited. I'll put a link in the show notes below and just a little bit about Jane. She is a former award-winning financial advisor, television producer, creative scriptwriter, and yoga instructor. And she's a certified VUCA instructor and the founder of Epic Vision Zone, which is where I was featured. She serves passion-driven women who are ready to create radical self-empowerment to become the bringers of big ideas, influence, inspiration, and change. And Jane is committed to end the disempowering beliefs that it's too late or too hard, too pie in the sky for women to prosper and matter doing what the work that they love. And she knows that having more, being more, and feeling more, creating more exists for every woman when she learns to feel and access the vision of her dream and make it her new reality. So we're going to be talking about how do you make that vision your new reality. So tell us a little bit more about yourself, Jane, and how you came to this part of your journey. What was a key moment or pivotal change of your own where you had to shift that compass?
Well, thank you so much, Carrie, for that wonderful introduction. And yes, I often say I'm the queen of pivots. that's the highlights of where I've been and where I've come from. But the key moment was when I believe that there's a lot of things in life that just kept piling on. And I'm assuming that many women could relate to this, that I built a wall. I basically kept building the wall so that I couldn't feel anything, so that I wouldn't be disturbed and I could just keep going. You grow a tough skin, so to speak. So when the recession hit, I mean, things had happened and many changes had come to place, but the recession came and, you know, it hit us extremely hard. And we actually had to pack up and go back to Canada to find jobs because there was nothing here. And the whole shift as to where I was going and what I was going to do. And the walls just started to shatter. They started coming down one after the other. I hadn't been back in Canada for a number of years, probably 25 years. So Arizona was now home, not Toronto, even though I have a lot of family there. But it just, you know, it was concrete city. It wasn't the desert. It wasn't the mountains that we have here and the beautiful blue skies. And it was just kind of like a rat race. You know, that's where I grew up. That's where I was raised. But having lived in Arizona for so many years, we had become very accustomed to the desert and the tranquility, even though, you know, we're growing, but it's not a city like Toronto, like New York, basically. And so all of that, and when the walls came shattering down, I basically came down with it. And that was my moment of what the heck is happening. I had no idea. I'd never experienced it before. I was in complete anxiety and shaking, and I had gone into total fear. Fear had consumed me. I couldn't eat. My stomach had shrunk. I understand now what all those symptoms were because I took upon myself to learn. I'm a terrific digger and researcher. And with all of the things that were happening to me physically and mentally, I thought, what is going on? So I saw an ad come up on my computer for Jon Kabat-Zinn. I didn't know who he was. I was not aware of him being the founder of bringing meditation to North America. But whatever the ad said, it resonated with me. So I understand now that that was the universe giving me a message. And I went and purchased his books. I started to learn about meditation. I started to learn about the body. And that took me to Joe Dispenza, which took some more science into it. And I studied yoga because in his books, he talks about yoga all the time. So I found a yoga studio, not yoga in a fitness club. That didn't resonate with me. And for some reason, I knew in my gut that it wasn't the place for the yoga I needed. I needed a studio where there was real yoga. And I found one. And there started my transition. I mean, in combination with the, and I actually became a yoga instructor. And little by little, little steps, like they say, a journey of 1,000 miles begins with one step. That's how I came to be where I am today. And I continue to learn. I love learning. And there's so much science now backing what the ancients used to know. As you and I had this conversation, it's fascinating. Everything we talk about that you teach was known by the ancients years ago. We in the Northern Hemisphere just needed science to back it up. And now it's becoming a movement and it's really resonating with men and women. But women, I find, are more accepting of this new knowledge because we have an inner guidance compass, I believe. So that's in a nutshell how I got to be where I am now. And I am just so excited about the possibilities and what we can do as human beings.
Yeah, it's beautiful. When you hit that brick wall, it sure is a slam. And, you know, I feel like it happens when we're not paying attention because it can still happen later after you've already found the path and you started walking it, but then maybe you get a little too comfortable in it or I've had this experience and then had to get those reminders and hopefully listening to the whispers instead of the shouts from the universe to go back into stillness, go back into that quiet center place. So when you practice yoga, you're actually, I'm assuming, because my practice, but I'd love to hear what your experience was, but my practice was helping me get in my body and use my breath and move my body and focus my attention on my body, because I had been focused in my brain, you know, and in my mind, and not in my cells and my tissue and my breath and my movements and my humanness. And so I feel like that path is such a awakener in so many ways to all that the body's holding for us until we choose to pay attention to it finally. And a lot of these wake-up calls seem to be to get quiet and listen to the body. Especially as an empath, I find that it's even more important to have that spaciousness and that stillness. Say more about your perspective on that.
Oh, absolutely. There's a beautiful quote that I love, and it says, "To the mind that is still, the universe surrenders." And now that I understand so much about the mind-body-soul connection, spirit connection, what you and I discussed earlier is the energy that we are made up of. So when you think of the static, is what I call it, from the outer energies that we receive on a daily basis, there's so much. I mean, there's the traffic, there's what our minds are telling us, there's chores, there's things to do, and I call it static energy. And that becomes static in our body. And it really throws us off our state of being, because our state of being is in a more even, I guess it is, frequency, if you want to put it that way. So I love that you mentioned that, you know, the yoga brings you into that, because for me, what it did, it helped move that energy through me and release it. And then you come to a state of centeredness, and that's the calm that you would feel. Shavasana was, you know, when you lay there at the end of class and you've been moving your body and your mind. I always say that if you're in yoga, you cannot be not present. Otherwise, you will not be doing your poses. And I'm not saying that you have to be a pretzel or you have to do them perfectly, but you need to be present, you know, because there's a lot of balance involved. And so when you start to move that and your mind is focused, your mind is right there with you. So the mind and the body is one, moving as one. Then when you come to Shavasana at the end, lying down on your mat, I don't know about you, but I could just feel my whole, I guess you call the senses, but in my case, it would be the energy, just a frequency of stillness. The static had left and I could feel that I was open. And so, yes, it's really an inspiring practice. And I practice a little bit of yoga every day. I open up my body because what I say is it's moving the energy. You know, when you get out of bed, you've been still, you haven't been moving. And just even to do it, to take some big breaths and stretch one way or the other, it just opens up those pathways. And then you can start the day with, now we can begin.
Yeah, I've actually been really more conscious of it and more aware lately. Because whenever I go into like a next level in my path, the next initiation, the next level of responsibility, the next level of potential, what happens for me is that then everything becomes much more precious, you know, in terms of my awareness of what I'm doing to myself and unconsciously, right? Because I might slip or slide in certain ways, or I might be performing rituals, but just as a routine instead of as a ritual, like lighting my altars, for example, and just like, okay, I got to light all these, like making the donuts. I got to make the donuts, light all the altars, you know, instead of like, I am calling in the directions, you know, it's like a very different energetic to call the directions in, you know, than to like, I just got to light all these altars and light all these candles and just get it done. And it's like, well, what's the intention? You know, what's the intention of the action? And so, yeah, that mindfulness upon waking, like, okay, my body has been in one position. And if I slept well, then it's been there for a long time. And so I need to give it some support in order to get out of bed. You know, I'm not a spring chicken. I have to actually coax my body awake, you know, get everything flowing again and moving. And this is like, I think what's so wonderful about the yoga practice is it includes the breath work. It includes like body movements. and stretching with breath. So like this breath and body moving together with intention of the mind. And also like this just awareness of whatever stuck areas are not necessarily like, okay, it might be stuck in the muscle, but is it the muscle or is it some emotion that got trapped in there? Is it some, you know, constraint, some belief that I placed on myself that's like hiding out in that muscle so that I'll feel it? And I feel like yoga opens up those kind of awarenesses.
Oh, yes, it absolutely does. Because if you don't do the movements or even just regular stretching, if you don't know yoga, that's exactly what happens is you go, oh, that I didn't know I had a knot there. And like you said, it could be from a position that you were in or it just energy that needs to be moved. And for what reason? So I absolutely agree. And it also provides you with a great opportunity to start the day with your vision, if you have a vision. Because what vision allows us to do is to place ourselves in the future. But the issue is that many of us don't have a vision. So as you said at the beginning, our compass is not set. I often say that a vision isn't wishful thinking. It's deliberate manifestation. So in other words, if you're on a path and you have no map and you don't know where you're going to get lost. And having a vision of where you want to go, what your life you see your life as, what your best day could possibly be, what your best year would be. No matter what it is, I want people to close their eyes and feel into it. I often say to people, I don't like to get into their heads. Like one of the big questions often asked is, what are your core values? Well, for me, that just goes right to my thinking brain. It's like, oh, my core values. What are those? Oh, I have so many. I don't know which ones to pick. It's like, no, I want to know what sets your heart on fire. I want to know what makes you jump out of bed and say, I can't wait to greet this day. I want to know what you would love to do. I don't care if it's chasing butterflies, something that elevates that feeling within you, because it's our feelings that give us our greatest clarity in life. Our feelings are the magnetic push or pull that we emanate into the universe. So when we're happy, when we're joyful, when we're grateful, we emanate a vibration that is positive. And that goes out. So what I often say is the universe, if your thoughts are no longer a record of the past, but a roadmap to the future, that's when you draw your vision to you. Because your vision will be magnetized towards you. I know it sounds in some ways a little out there, but this is what quantum physics and science is teaching us today. So this is all factual. And I love the fact that you brought up yoga, because the yoga puts you in that vibrational state. And it might not happen right away, and that's okay. Just know that you have the capability to draw your future to you, as long as you have a vision of what really, really sets your joy on fire. And, you know, that might take a while because let's face it, life gets busy. We get hectic. There's chores, there's responsibilities. When I was in the financial industry, Carrie, I never thought about what my vision is. It's like, what is that? You know, people are like, you're all numbers and you're just making money and that's all that matters. And that was back in the day, because back then they didn't talk about all of this today, like we are today, where things are opening up. They're definitely opening up. So I came from a very rigid, compliance-driven, money-driven industry. And, you know, if you said, wow, what's your vision? They would have said, well, Jane, you know, there's the door. You can go get your vision or whatever it is you're into. But this is actually the way to manifest. So it's very, very exciting. So I get both sides, and I'd love to talk to people who are in that box, because I still know a lot of people that just don't get it. But it's starting to open up, and I really feel that women in particular are resonating with this shift. When I go to do my coaching classes, when I add different clients, not just to my practice, but to others, and I participate in other people's platforms, Carrie, I'd say 90% of them are women. 90% of those individuals in that room are women. It's because we are opening up. And the top leadership skills today are feminine: empathy, compassion, communication, collaboration. Those are the top leadership skills from men. They're saying that. But those are all feminine traits. So how exciting is that? So we are coming into our vibration, and it's really exciting.
When you were talking about the work environment and the changes being made, you know, in these industries, I was also thinking about the other half of my life was just being a mom. Yeah. And you were asking like, what lights you up? And I remember what used to really give me drive to even live, to even stay alive, was my kids when they were smaller, right? And I was going through a really dark night of the soul. But I knew that I wanted to be there for them. I knew I didn't want to leave the planet. I didn't want to leave them without a mother. So I had like this great passion for being there for my kids. And then, you know, teenage happens and they go through this phase where they're just like, wow, I just don't care about you. I don't want you in my life. And I don't agree with you, and get out of my way. And I don't want to spend time with you, and I'm leaving, and I don't want to talk to you, and I don't have anything in common with you. I mean, these are the things that I'm still hearing today from my stepkids. So it's like that part of the life for a mom is a total rewiring, because your life is no longer about your kids. It's like, okay, my life is about me again. And like, when was the last time that happened? Probably in the early 20s. Mid-20s, maybe even like late 20s. But then after that, it started being about these kids. And so now what? Like, who am I? I hear women saying, who am I? I don't even know who I am anymore. I sacrificed myself for these kids. I did everything. I drove them all over the place. Every last waking moment, having conversations about their growth with my partner, and like endlessly worrying about them and trying to help them succeed, and then to get the door slammed in the face, and then they leave. And it's like, okay, I feel depleted. I feel used up, exhausted, depleted, and unappreciated. And now what? I don't know how to access that good feeling that you're talking about to get into a state of a vision. I don't even know who I am anymore. So what do you recommend for that kind of scenario?
Yeah, and that happens. It's happened to me as well. Well, I say start at the beginning with a piece of paper. And I don't mean the computer, because there is a connection between writing and putting something down on paper. So I often get people to write down three different aspects, like the first question, what really sets your heart on fire? Like, what makes you excited? I don't care if it's silly. I don't care if it's out there. I don't care if it's like, well, you know, watching a good movie. It doesn't matter. I don't want this to be something that you overthink. What would your best day look like? So I'm putting you into the space of feeling. I want you to feel, what would your best day look like? What would make you feel so good? And then take that one step further. And what would your best year look like? What would make you feel joyful? So these are things that we don't get asked. If someone were to ask me today, who are you? That is a huge question. It's like, what? Okay, I don't know. I'll get back to you on that. You know, let's face it. I mean, that's a big question. But when we stop and we give ourselves the space, herein lies the secret to creativity. We need space to create. We cannot be creative in static. There's no focus. It's what we call flow. Flow is when you're in a state of complete and utter focus on that one thing. I know when we're doing something, we're thinking, I've got to get the dinner on. I've got to go to get the groceries. I've got to get the kids to school, or I've got to get to work. I've got that project I've got to get done. And that's where the practice of a breath work, or just staying still and closing your eyes, like you beautifully started this podcast, which I loved, by the way. And it's just becoming present and then settling into that and say, okay, I'm here now with my pen and paper. And what makes me really darn happy? What would my very best day look like? And how would that make me feel? And then what would my best year look like? And then take a look at it again and say, why? And then you start to break it down. So it doesn't happen overnight. But the point is not to get your state of mind into a panic with those questions, because that's where the elevation comes in. The static starts to happen. We want to just breathe into it. And if you can't answer it, come back to it. But then come back to it the next day and look at it and say, okay, do I want to change something? What feels good today? And you work on it for a week. And then we come and we take a look at it and see where we can begin.
Yeah. And it feels to me on my own personal journey of this, identifying who am I and what do I like? Because again, I had a total rewire of my path too, right? It was a high tech and doing all that. And then all of a sudden I was like, I'm going to be an energy healer. What is that? I didn't even know that was a thing. So, you know, that was exciting. And that was a whole new, like, fresh start, a fresh breath of air in my life. And it happened for me before my kids were out of school. So luckily I didn't have that, a total gap, you know, like I see a lot of women having, like that total loss of everything, their identity, everything, the kids, empty. It's awful. Luckily I have been spared for most of that, but that feeling is still there. That feeling of wanting, like, for example, wanting everyone to be a happy family. Like, when there's moments when I've had a really happy family, that has made me really happy. When everyone's authentically smiling for the camera, I love that. Those moments are so precious to me because they happen really rarely in my family, you know, up until now, because I've got really independent-minded kids who like don't want to please or any of that stuff. So they're only going to be authentic. And sometimes that means like grouchy faces. But how can I be making my list, right? So that it's not entangled up with anybody else I love doing anything for me. Because if my list is dependent on other people, you know, specific other people, then I'm setting myself up, right? So like part of that process is calling through to see how can I get to authentically beautiful experiences for myself without and like roping anybody else into it.
Okay, that's perfect. So here's what I got from that for you, Carrie, is that you are a teacher, and providing that which makes others joyful is what sets your heart on fire. It's what makes your heart sing. And so going into the work that you do today is a complete fit for what really resonates with you, because that's what made you the happiest, when you saw the people around you that you love being in joy. And so you are a healer, and you help individuals come to their full potential, their full person, or realize what might be keeping them stuck so that they can bloom into their complete joy. So that, to me, that story, it just totally clicked for me.
Yeah, it just landed on it because I have emotion coming up. Everyone can probably see, like, my heart was really touched. Because yeah, like I really, what's wonderful for me is when I'm able to support people who authentically want to be supported, and not to do it for them, but like that they could be inspired by whatever I'm sharing and then take it and run with it. That just lights me up. And so yeah, my students in my classes, I love them because they want to do this work. Like they're excited to do it. And they're not like begrudgingly being, you know, forced or dragged along, you know, which I find really repulsive. I don't like that experience. It's no fun.
No, actually, no. And then that gives bad energy too, to the group. But yeah, so that's exactly, yeah, I could see that. You are their guide to happiness. Yeah, that's what it is.
I can receive success in that area because the people want to come along. And, you know, I've been told that, you know, just give it some time, Carrie, you're a young mother. My kids are like in their early 20s. Sometime around there when they're 30 or 40, I'll get that experience, but it's just not going to happen at this moment. So that's one of those things of patience. But like in the meantime of all that, you know, your goals and visions and dreams, like how do you, you said that you, it's an intentional manifestation, right? Like it's, I can't remember the words you exactly said, but it's not just like having a vision. Oh, deliberate manifestation. And so how do you deliberately manifest once you know, like, I love having this kind of experience like mine with my happy family. I'm deliberately creating community of people that want to be part of my happy family and work together, you know, so, but like, how can you deliberately create it? I assume it has something to do with that inner compass.
Yes, it does. So our inner compass helps us with our behaviors, with our beliefs, and with our habits. And those are the things that often get us stuck in the record of the past. But we can change. That's a given. Today we know we can change. The hardest thing is the change, because our reptilian brains are wired to protect us. And that's what they're doing. So it's not a bad thing. As long as you understand what the mind is trying to do, it's trying to protect you from something new. That's something that we need to overcome. And for me, once I understood the science behind it, I said, yeah, that makes total sense. And so once you have that vision, like you said, you know that I know that you are on the right path to being who you are authentically meant to be. And by the way, I just wanted to say this little bit here. You know how this imposter syndrome has been a really big thing lately. And the way I see imposter syndrome is that is your divine self sending you an energetic message that you're not on the right path. Your imposter is entering you and saying, just giving you a knock and saying, you're on the wrong path. And that's, I'm giving you a message. So I see it in that vein. And so just an insight into imposter syndrome. But yes, absolutely. So what I get people to do then at that stage is once they have their vision, I want them to picture the growth of that vision. So in, let's take your case, for example. So you are building a community of people and getting them as your family, a community to raise their awareness, to raise their vibration, their consciousness, so that they are in a state of not just joy, but healing, understanding where their path is. What does that business look like for you a year from now? Say, for example, do you have the vision of a retreat, of a studio? Just play with it. Here's the creativity. This is where creativity and imagination comes in. Imagination is taking something that's not there and making it. Creativity is taking something that's already here and changing it. So I say open up your imagination. It is the most significant tool that we have. As Einstein said, it's much more important than knowledge. So use your imagination. If you had all the resources in the world, I want you to close your eyes and feel into what that would look like for you. What you envision? Would it be in an ashram? Would it be on the beach with a number of your community celebrating the healing process? Whatever that is, you want to feel into it. That signal will go out into the universe, deliberately connecting with what's out there and magnetize it to you. Because your feelings provide the clarity. Your feelings provide the signal. And do it every single day. And just imagine how that would make you feel. It's our emotions, our energy in motion that draws our future to us. And let your heart feel it. And just imagine the joy, the happiness, and the enlightenment that you would feel with all those individuals around you experiencing the same thing. And let it be, because it will be.
Yeah, so beautiful. It's like Dr. Joe Dispenza and visualizing that rose until finally someone just drove up to his house and gave him one. You know, I don't even know why I'm doing this, but I feel like I need to bring this rose here. So somebody was tuning in, listening, getting that message insistently enough that they finally just went and did it. And that's that beacon you're talking about. And that's why, like, a lot of spiritual businesses, they have these formulas and strategies and how to, like, advertise on Facebook. And I just haven't found any of that to really be that successful, because really what it is what you just said, is that cosmic phone call, you know, like, hello, I'm creating this over here. Would you like to join me?
Yeah, exactly. It is. I'll give you a great story. This is true. Keith Richards of the Rolling Stones. This is way back in the day when he wrote, what's their most popular song? See, I'm not a Rolling Stone. One of their most popular songs. Anyway, Satisfaction. I can't get. Anyway, I won't even attempt to sing it. So one night he was lying in bed. And he said he always has a pen and paper beside his nightstand, always. And he said he was just, I guess, in kind of sleep and halfway there. And he said this tune came to him and he wrote it down in the middle of the night. And that became Satisfaction, because someone asked him, how did you come up with the song? And he said, this is what it is. He said, there are ideas. And this was way back in the day, remember, before we started talking about all of this, improving the potential of vibration and quantum physics and so on and so forth. He said, there are ideas floating around out there in the universe. He said, I just happened to be awake and grabbed it. He said, if I hadn't grabbed it, somebody else would have. And I thought, wow, that's fascinating. And now that we understand the power of what our minds can do, that's the same thing that what you said. It's a cosmic phone call. The universe is listening. God, life force, whatever you want to call it, it is always listening. And this is why they say, when you're in a state of heaviness and depression, anger, all those are messages that you're sending out to the universe. So the universe always says yes. If you remember nothing else, remember this. The universe always says yes. So if you say, oh, that's going to be so difficult. Oh, there's no way I'll ever get there. Oh, that wouldn't happen in a million years. Well, the universe always says yes. So just remember that and change your words. Catch yourself. I catch myself all the time. I still kind of go there sometimes, but then I go, I take it back. I'm not.
Cancel clear.
Yeah. There's cosmic energy, connectivity, whatever you want to call it. And it is out there and it is listening. We aren't just here. We have the potential to be incredible human beings. I mean, there are people who have learned to walk, people who haven't, you know, been able to see, and they're not using any medication. They're not using any drugs. And I know this sounds way out there, but they've used the power of their mind and the possibility that's there and believing in that possibility. Like you said, if you don't believe in it, that's a block. I don't believe that could ever happen. Well, the universe always says yes. So there you go. So words are extremely important. Words have vibration too. So yeah, it's really the work that we have and the potential that we have as human beings is way greater than we think we are. We are much, much greater than who we think we are.
Yeah. So that's why, you know, I think ultimately that's what shadow work is about. Because when we set the intention and we set the vision from that place of stillness and we get that vision of what we really love, we really enjoy, and we place it out there, and then the universe says yes and starts to bring it. And then we might find ourselves in some, what I like to call initiations, into that claiming of that, you know, because it's already there. So then the question is, can I allow myself to have it? And what would stand in the way of me allowing myself to have it, right? Because sometimes there's something there that you need to look at. And then you get to decide. The universe says, hey, by the way, this is not congruent with what you said you wanted. And it will show you those things in a series of life events that you then get to choose. Oh, I see now this thing might make a new decision about this. I might need to change that belief, or I might need to burn and release that in the fire, let that go and welcome in a new potential for myself. But if we don't understand that that's what's happening, we start to think the universe said no, right? But it's actually said yes. It's just showing you what's not congruent with what you said you wanted.
Exactly. Yes, absolutely. Something came to mind when you were talking about that. It's really that I say we have antennas that are up there. And you're the antenna. And what you receive is what you're putting out. So what signal are you putting out there? You have to be, you're absolutely right. You have to be open to receive. It's not that you want, it's that you receive. When you say, I want something, what that tells the universe is that you don't have it. The universe wants you to know that you already own that. That is your vision. That is your path. When you understand that it belongs to you, we are all here for a divine purpose. I believe that now. It took me years to believe that. I was like, oh yeah, that's just a bunch of woo-woo. But we are all here for a divine purpose. And all the universe is waiting for is for you to say yes. That's what I say. I said, everyone here is here for a reason, for a purpose. But we've been blocking it. We've been pushing it away. We've been getting in the way. What we need to do is open to receive and say yes.
I think that it's also that we're just not aware. Like there's a lot of areas of our subconscious patterns, right? That are like the water the fish is swimming in. It's just normal for the fish until there's like a desire that is just that much greater than the current reality starts to reveal what's been operating under the surface. And it's just not necessarily getting rid of things, because I don't really believe that we can get rid of half of the human experience. I mean, I feel like we're born into this matrix where we're going to at some point experience anger. We're going to at some point experience frustration or fear or shame or guilt or any of those things. There's going to be things that pass through, right? And what's the mastery is how we can experience that without taking responsibility for it and without making up stories about how, well, that means I'm not suited, right? Because that's what happens when we go for our dreams, we go for our visions, is that these things surface as part of clearing what's no longer congruent with where you're going and who you're becoming. Like, that old pattern needs to drop out because you're going to a place that that doesn't apply. You know, that's not congruent with who you say you want to be. Then you have to make a decision to release that old pattern. And all it's doing is saying, hey, this is not congruent, which is a very neutral thing. But what we do is we take that behavior or that thing that happened and we feel guilty about it. And then we make a whole thing. I'm just speaking for myself, people, but if it applies to you too, you know, good. But it's like we take that whole thing and make it a story about why we're not suited. And that is not what the universe is showing us that for. It's saying, yes, you're suited. Yes, it's yours. And this thing needs to be cleaned out of the closet. You know, like, you don't really want that with this thing. Like, they don't go together.
Right. Absolutely. And you hit the nail on the head, Carrie, when you said pass through. Mm-hmm. That's what it is. We need to let it pass through. Yeah, I agree. I mean, we're all going to have road bumps. I mean, it's not like, oh yeah, I'm just not feeling that. No, it's there. I mean, we're human, but it's whether or not you stay there. That's the record of the past, right? And like you say, the universe comes up, or God, and just says, hey, you know, you're forgetting about this. What's the deal? It's like, yeah, okay, I acknowledge you. You're there. But, you know, I'm going to let you pass right through, because that's what gets us stuck in the past. And it's not something that you can just put in a little box and tuck away and there it goes. But it's also something that you don't want to get stuck there and dwell on it and say, okay, yeah, I'm not meant to do this. This isn't my path, because how could I even dream of that? They say if your dream doesn't scare the hell out of you, it's not big enough. So it's something that you really, don't quit your daydream.
And you know, don't quit your daydream,
because that's why you're here. When we're children, we're always dreaming. We're always pretending. We are born creators. What happens is we come into a world that conforms us. Conformity becomes the norm. It becomes something that, you know, we go into our school with the desk and we're supposed to color in the lines. And then we go to work and we're in our cubicle and we have to stay in that box. And then you have to have your kids, and then everybody has to have their job. And that's conformity. And when the culture conforms you, like when you go to India, different countries, they're much more open about the ideas of, I haven't been, but I've had friends who've been there. And they said, you know, Jane, it's so amazing. They're not, a lot of them are very poor, but they're very happy and they would never steal from you. And it's like, wow, that's a totally different culture, but they're very spiritual. And they're very, like we all know, happiness comes from within. So the conformity is what blocks us here. You know, one of the things that the practice does is that it just brings you back and say, yes, I understand that's the conformity. And I know you want me to be in the box, because what does that do? That gives control. The conformity enables people to control other individuals. But when we're in a state of happiness and we don't need certain things that we think we do, then that frees us up. And that's when the universe comes and you open up that and you start to receive. Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
Yeah, so it's been a practice of mine, is when those stories come up or those experiences that are not congruent with who I'm becoming at like the next level initiation, but I'm in one right now. And then I'll do some behavior that, because of the combination of stresses and everything else, like something will come up that I haven't done in a long time. And I'll go, oh my gosh, it's still there. It hasn't gone anywhere. And it's like, no, it has shifted. It's just that now we're getting down deeper to the root of it, right? We're going to pluck it right out. And it's that friction that causes us to be able to see more clearly all the places that these patterns are hooked in, so we can unhook ourselves from those patterns. And so I think awareness is like, is our greatest tool. And if we just don't use it against ourselves, I think we'll be much happier and move forward a lot faster on this path. And And that stillness you spoke of, you know, which is also in direct antithesis to our culture, requires us to slow down. You cannot go deep enough in 30 seconds, I promise you. You've got to go deeper than that, like at least an hour in my book. Like you have to be at least an hour deep into stillness before you get a really good clarity on something. And it has to be, you know, past that chattering mind. And that's one of the things that yoga is so helpful with, right? Is getting us past the chattering mind so we can have that still, quiet voice and actually hear what it's saying.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's where I see your work coming into play, because I see your community and I see you having this space, this place for people to come. And it's not just an hour. It's half a day. It's a day. And they just come together in quietness and stillness. And wow, the end result's going to be amazing.
Yeah, I've been craving more stillness and spaciousness. And like many of those people listening, I understand you've got kids, you've got a partner, you've got a job, you've got to go get groceries, you have to pay your bills. Me too. And this is what we signed up for. We're not on the mountain this time. We want to be, but we get to learn how to bring the mountain in the middle of the mess.
I love that.
That's what we're doing here. So yeah, thank you for being a guide for all of this and for helping women to find their guiding compass for their big dreams and visions and to know that their voices and their visions matter. I love it. Is there anything that you want to share with people as a way of getting started with you besides obviously your podcast?
Yes, absolutely. They can go to my website at Jane Applegath. That's applegath.com. And there are two free downloads there. And then you can also connect with all of my podcasts and or video because it's also on YouTube. And you can also connect with me there and just send me an email. I would be happy to hear from you. And my biggest social media is Instagram. So my handle is at Jane Applegath. And connect with me there. Send me a DM. I'll be sure to get back to you.
Beautiful. Thank you so much for your time today and sharing your wisdom, well-earned on your path for our audience. And so listeners, if you enjoyed this time with Jane, then please reach out to her and go deeper and share this out with anybody else that you think would be interested in this information and this encouragement to slow down and get recentered and aligned with your inner compass. And we'll see you next time on Soul Nectar Show. We're going to give kisses now. Would you like to give kisses with me? I always give air kisses. Sure. Here they come, everybody. We love you. And we'll see you next time on Soul Nectar Show. Bye for now. If you found even one gold nugget in this episode of Soul Nectar Show, will you do us a favor? Will you subscribe, like, and share this episode? Maybe even write a comment and let us know what you thought about it. We really, really want to engage with you at a much deeper level. Let's be part of community together. Have a great week, everyone. Bye for now. To dive in deeper to nourishing conversation, visit soulnectar.show.
Take a sip from the drip of nectar, from the source of who you are.